Hello, welcome to SupplyCast, the podcast from the Healthcare Supply Association. Today, we are continuing what is going to be a series of podcasts around the new strategic framework. So we're going to have quite a few different guests picking down into aspects of it. A few weeks ago, we had Jackie Rock on, who kind of did a précis of the whole thing, kind of a repeat of what she did at the HCSA conference last November. Today, we've got Fiona Hilton and Lois Shield very kindly joining us. I guess the first thing to start off with before we go into digging down into aspects of the strategic framework is, first of all, just to I'll introduce you. Fiona, first of all, can you tell me who you are and what you do?
Hi, Bruce. My new title is Director of Commercial Best Practice and Engagement, which it's a really exciting new post that's been put together in order to help us work across the system and work as a joined up commercial community. So thank you for inviting us.
And Lois?
Yeah, thanks, Bruce. My name's Lois Shield, and I'm an associate director here in the central commercial function. And my responsibility is commercial capability and best practice.
Okay, so I think the best way to start, I guess, is at the beginning. Why did this come about, and why now the new strategic framework? And I'll throw that out to either of you, whoever wants to stick their head above the parapet first.
So well, shall I go first?
Oh, you're both so keen. That's what we like to see at the beginning of the podcast.
Yeah, Fiona's only been in post sort of 6 weeks now, Fiona. So I guess how the strategic framework for NHS commercial came about was Jackie Rock was appointed as the Chief Commercial Officer for NHS England, I think back in January 2022. And in the July of that year, she established the Central Commercial Function, and that had 7 service offerings. And what was sort of intimated by the commercial community was that actually what we needed was a longer term plan to establish how we do transformational commercial activity, building on the 7 service offerings. So the strategic framework came about to really encapsulate the commercial ambitions and objectives for the NHS over the next 5 years. And we really wanted to build upon all of the other centre-led strategies and initiatives and really get the commercial community behind this, building on, as I said, the central commercial function establishment of the 7 service offerings, which were commercial best practice, technology and data. There was governance and assurance and processes. People and community was another one. Commercial strategies, sustainability and innovation, and sourcing and management. So we wanted to build upon those 7 service offerings and put a bit of meat on the bones, as they say. Would you say that's a fair summary, Fiona, as to how this all came about?
Yeah, exactly. I think it's as much about trying to make sure that we can work together as one commercial community. And the whole framework was put together initially by working collaboratively across all the different commercial teams rather than just being developed through NHS England.
Yeah, I guess what we need to mention as well is that we wanted to ensure best value for money for the British taxpayer. We wanted to leverage our collective buying power, but also we want to make sure that the patient pathways and health outcomes are the best that they can be. And we really wanted to establish a globally renowned commercial function for healthcare, supporting the NHS to deliver world-class patient care and outcomes. And that's the heart of, the patient has to be at the heart of everything that we do commercially. And that's what we're hoping that this strategic framework will cover off in one place.
And was there a central objective and vision behind this, an ultimate goal?
I think it's about driving collaboration across the commercial teams. It's the first of its kind to drive the sort of leveraging the NHS collective buying power. It's a 5-year program plan. This isn't something that we're going to be able to deliver quickly, but it's the first of its kind and it marks a step change in the way that we want to work together, the NHS commercial across the whole system.
Did you want to add anything to that, Lois?
Yeah, well, we want to really embed and seek to deliver upon the commitments outlined in the NHS long-term plan, but also raise the profile and productivity and efficiency of our commercial community. You know, sometimes commercial and procurement don't get a seat at the top table, and that's what we're really hoping that this strategic framework will showcase the great work that already exists across the NHS landscape, you know, delivered by some of our ICS procurement leaders and shared services, and how we build upon what already exists. So this strategic framework is trying to deliver and showcase some of that great work, but build upon it, build upon the foundations that we've built, you know, over the last sort of 3 to 5 years and longer, but make sure that we're doing it at pace, and that there's a plan, there's a consistency, there's consistent clear guidance about how suppliers can contract with the NHS, that we're utilising our data and technology to drive commercial efficiencies and outcomes, as I said, you know, for the patient who has to be at the heart of every decision that we make.
It's it's also worth mentioning, Bruce. I know you spoke to Andrew New recently, you know, so we're doing this in collaboration with NHS Supply Chain. We're doing it in collaboration with HCSA. We're doing it involving our colleagues in the Department of Health and Social Security, as well, of course, of all the ICS leads. So it's a true collaboration across the NHS rather than something that's just being driven independently.
And then sort of plonked in front of people. I said, there you go. There you go. Mate, enjoy that. There you go. Look yourself up.
I mean, we got a lot of help from our ICS procurement leads and the community in building and shaping the strategic framework. As I said, you know, there's some really great work already happening within our community and the NHS landscape, and we wanted to make sure that we understood some of the challenges that are faced to actually deliver where we recognise there are efficiencies and you know, things that aren't working quite well, and how do we solve the current problem that we all know exists, and where do we want to be in 5 years' time. So we really sort of tried to seek you know, the advice from the experts who are in the field to understand what needed to be done. So hopefully this framework, you know, captures some of their thoughts. And again, the feedback that we've had today is that this document does, you know, is a consensus built up from the community, and hopefully will be delivered by our, you know, colleagues on the ground.
Now, I love a key theme, because to me, I'm one of those people who, when you know, when I was a reporter, I used to love an executive summary of a large report.
You've got that.
I absolutely, there's nothing better than an executive summary that to save you a lot of work. And I know that there are four key themes.
So we
identified. Can you tell us what they are and how you landed on those four key themes?
So the framework is 26 interventions, but it's divided by four themes. Mm-hmm. And as Lois said originally, we developed the seven segments of the central commercial function. But from that has come these four specific themes of how we're going to operate and deliver these interventions. And one is all about people and best practice and capability and how we're going to invest in our national community. The second one is about digital and transparency and how we capture our savings and our value and making some standardization, the spend comparison service, some of the medtech pathways that we've started to talk about with DHSC, and then how we work. And that's very much some of the interventions that sit within how we work are about the NHS supply chain. They're about some of the playbooks, the way that we, how we want to work together consistently and in a standardized way, and looking at our commercial risk. And then influence and scale. Some, again, we've talked a lot about framework consolidation that we've started to do. And I know you'll be talking later in some more detail about our framework consolidation intervention, but also in there, the sustainability agenda with social value and modern slavery, and the way we work with suppliers, our SSRM and our SME action plan, again, that many of our colleagues are already involved with. So I think this strategic framework isn't starting from the beginning. We're already building on things that have already been put in place, whether it's the net zero carbon roadmap that's been in place now for a number of years with a clear delivery plan for 2045, or whether or not it's something that we are starting to look at from a base, but actually we need to build out the whole 5-year program plan. So yes, we have put it into four different themes. And some of them cross over, and interweave into one another, but we thought it was easier so that we would be able to describe it to people, to be able to have it in a theme of people, digital and transparency, how we work and influence and scale.
Okay,
Is there
so
anything you want to add on that,
that was really about
Lawrence?
just making it for people, people like myself as
Yeah.
well. Like I said, I always used to love when I was reporting, just making it easily digestible into the main key areas where you're looking, where it's ultimately looking to make a difference.
Exactly.
Lois, did you have anything to add to that?
No, not really. I think, with every good document, as you said, there's obviously a clear sort of context, but I guess our vision is, at risk of repeating myself, is our aim is to be, the globally renowned commercial function in healthcare supporting the NHS to deliver world-class patient care and outcomes. And that, there's a number of goals that we want to seek, for patients on the NHS, not only in cash releasing savings to free up money for care, but have more consistent access to health, high quality products and services. But also for the people who work in commercial, make sure that, they have the training and the development, to attract, develop and retain. We're quite conscious that, in the NHS, we're not very we sometimes struggle to attract the right commercial acumen. We, obviously pay scales, challenging in the private sector. But actually, how do we invest and, future-proof our commercial workforce? But also for suppliers, a lot of the feedback from suppliers is, trying to engage and work with the NHS is often quite a challenge. There's so many different contracting authorities, so many different terms and conditions and platforms where you go to. So hopefully for suppliers, this framework and some of our intentions around, the supplier registration, our use of ATOMOS and data to inform decisions and then, look at our where our supply markets are fragmented or where we're trying to improve the risk of a supplier market. All of that will enhance healthcare and get a be better recognition of on social value, but also sustainability and also driving innovation. It's really key, so all of that hopefully will be delivered as part of the 26 interventions and the four themes that Fiona alluded to earlier.
So what about implementation then? This is always a key thing, isn't it? Because I remember when we spoke to Jackie Rocks, she was saying, look, this isn't something that's just going to sort of sit there for a bit, be chewed over, nothing's really going to happen. You often hear people within the community saying, we've heard this kind of thing before. And I know Jackie was very keen to undercut that feeling of having heard it before, it never really going anywhere. So can you tell us a little bit about what's the thinking around implementation of this?
I think the most important thing about how we're implementing this is we're doing it in collaboration. We sort of, the whole premise of the framework was built up by collaborating across the NHS commercial community, and it now needs to be delivered by the NHS commercial community. And so we literally are taking each individual intervention and listing through milestones, deliverables, owners and people who are going to work in work streams on each of the deliver on each of the separate interventions and working out the timelines of it. We spent the National Procurement Forum in January specifically with the ICS leads looking at the prioritisation and looking in groups of tables for a few hours, discussing where they felt we should be focusing in the first instance. And having built on that, we're now going out, sharing with the ICS leads about where, and heads of procurement, where we want to be able to focus our immediate effort and where we're going to be able to do some things quickly and where we're going to develop things over the next 5 years. So the ambition is to share that sort of implementation plan and being clear about this year what we might be scoping out, but to deliver over the next 3 to 5 years, and what we are actually going to be delivering by quarter all the way through. Because I hear very much that we have had reviews, we have talked about things like this in the past and haven't necessarily delivered. But by being articulate with each of the individual interventions and having people allocated specifically to different areas so that they can all be involved. And I would encourage people who want to be involved to get in contact with us, because actually the more people who can support and work on a specific intervention if they're interested in it or they've got an expertise in something, we really value that in order to be able to deliver some national consensus across how we work, or influence and scale, or digital and transparency, or in the people arena.
I guess the only thing I would add to that is that there's a lot of a lot of this is already in progress.
Yes,
so it's all it's about building upon those foundations. So, you know, in terms of our people, we've already embedded a national community. We've got over, I think it's 2,500 people already registered on the CCF Best Practice Hub. And we've already, you know, already established formal and informal routes of engagement to try and seek feedback from our community about what they need and how we can improve our offer. You know, we've got, I think it's what 56% of our NHS trusts were already signed up to the Commercial Continuous Improvement Assessment Framework, which is an intervention under how we work, about how we continually improve our procurement functions. You know, digital and transparency, there's some, you know, building upon the success of Atomos and the work that, you know, Nils and Steve Balding are doing, you know, the value savings methodology. There's a lot of work that is already in train, how we work and, you know, looking at our influence and scale about our collaborative procurement organizations. A number of our ICSs are already establishing, you know, those more formal collaborations, you know, through shared service arrangements and others. You know, there's some great work going on at Northwest London, Humber and Hull, Bristol West Consortium, and others, to not, you know, don't want to leave anybody out. But, you know, there's some really good work that is already happening, and that I think shouldn't go unrecognized. And the work that we're trying to do in terms of pulling together the implementation plan is, how do we build on that? How do we learn from these lessons? But how do we work at scale? And what is the timeline for the next sort of, you know, 0 to 5 years in which we can deliver much more together?
Okay. So what are the checks and balances of the strategic framework?
So we've got a CCF steering board that we've recently increased to being a monthly, and every quarter it's for 2 hours. Mm-hmm. And that is chaired by Jackie. And it's got a representative. It's got Andrew New from NHS Supply Chain who attends. Mm-hmm. We've got David Lawson from DHSC MedTech. Mm-hmm. We've got Keith Rowley from HCSA.
A humble leader.
We do. And we've got 7 ICS leads who are representing the 7 regions. And we've recently also had Stephen Davies join us, who's the Guy's and St Thomas's CFO, to represent the finance community for us. So we feel like we've got different stakeholders from across all the organisation who are representing the key areas, who are then going back and talking to their own sort of specific communities. But it's a board that's bringing together this sort of breadth of community in order to make sort of decision making together, rather than it all being coming from Jackie and her deciding how things are going to be. It's very much about trying to work in a matrix rather than in a silo.
Okay, Lois, did you have anything to add to that?
Well, just that the implementation plan is in its infancy. You know, the structure and the infrastructure in which it will work has been determined almost, but actually the steps within each of those interventions will be need to be worked through. It's not a fait accompli. We know where we want to get to, we know what our ambition is, but actually working through that granular detail is what the next step will be. And then hopefully we can share and update progress, as Fiona said, reporting to the Central Commercial Function Steering Board. We'll be able to update, especially on forums such as this, when we can come back and say, this is the progress that we've made, and share, the successes that we build through the community with the community.
You've mentioned several times, obviously, collaborations at the core of this, and this is one of the big things that I know Jackie spoke about as being kind of a way to kind of say, look, this isn't the usual kind of thing that's just going to be plonked in front of you, and then maybe it goes somewhere, maybe it doesn't. So that's very much obviously seen as the key to it. The collaboration is the kind of guarantee that this is here to stay, and this will be developed, and this will be, reach its goal.
I think at the risk of continuing to repeat ourselves, each of the interventions is going to have a work stream. And within that work stream, we'll have people across the whole area to deliver that. And we sort of ask for people to give up some of their time in order to help be successful in each of these interventions, because I think we would all agree they are key to us being a successful NHS commercial body, and we can only do that by coming together and engaging. And we may not agree on everything, but at least we will all have an input and a say, with a view to then being able to deliver to a 5-year program plan.
So on that subject, what is the is there a further ask of the commercial community in terms of contribution? And also, I guess, how can they get involved?
I was going to say, yeah, absolutely. We'd love people to get involved. We can't do this, and nor would we want to do it on our own. A lot of the expertise sits out there within the system. A lot of our senior procurement leaders have got so much to offer, and that we would like to learn from, how they've embedded some of the activity that they have successfully, and we need to learn from that. So absolutely, we need people to get involved and share their experiences, share what's worked well, what's not worked well, but also be mindful that, we talk about the seven regions of NHS England, and each ICS footprint is slightly different and has different challenges in terms of resources, health, inequalities and different patient pathways. But how do we, recognize those nuances but still deliver within the elements of the strategic framework? So if people want to get involved, they can contact us through email or through their ICS procurement lead or through their head of procurement. There's going to be further opportunities to get involved and get in touch with us. But I guess, we do have so many different email addresses. But if they wanted to contact england.ccf@nhs.net, we'd love to hear from anybody who wants to get involved, or contact Fiona or myself. I think that's fair to say, is it not, Fiona?
Yeah, of course. And I think we're working with HCSA closely about how we're going to work with them as well, in order to make sure that each of the interventions are able to have its clear pathway to be delivered upon. I mean, yes, we want engagement, we want people to collaborate and to contact us. And Lois is right. I've recently been in post last, couple of months, and already I'm speaking a lot about this, and already people are putting their hands up, which is really good. We respect that people are busy, but actually now is the time to get involved, just a few hours a week, in order to be able to support how we can do this together.
Yeah, I mean, we've one of the things that we've discussed is that as we this podcast series continues, there will obviously be questions that will crop up from members that are listening and the commercial community that are listening, and our plan is to collate them together and then probably do a session further down the line where we address any questions that are coming up. I assume you'd probably be on that panel at that point as
Really?
well to address those.
Yeah, perfect. We'd love to do that. It's, we haven't thought of everything, We're definitely here in order to work together to deliver the 26 interventions. I mean, the other thing that we haven't mentioned actually, Bruce, that I would just is the Procurement Act that's coming in later on this year. And I think that will be a catalyst to being able to deliver this.
Sure.
And so I know you're doing podcasts, you know, specifically on the Procurement Act, but I think we recognize it as an opportunity actually for us to be able to work closer together in order to be able to deliver something that is almost a once in a lifetime type change for us all in procurement.
And what we want to do is to make sure that, you know, if you work in materials management, you work in transactional procurement, R&D, you know, category management, contract management, you understand the strategic framework for NHS commercial. So if your members, Bruce, have got any sort of suggestions about how we can demystify, you know, the 26 interventions or what would be useful for them to share, you know, for your colleagues to share with their teams, we'd be really interested in knowing how we get the message out that is relatable to the whole of the community. So yeah, any feedback around that would be helpful as well.
This is obviously an ongoing series on the new strategic framework for NHS commercial. And I want to thank you both for finding the time to contribute to this one. I'm sure you'll pop up, as I said just previously, along the line in further podcasts as well. Was there any final message you wanted to put out there at this stage?
I just encourage everybody to get involved, really. And any questions to feedback through, you know, we're open. Thank you.
And if there's any questions at this stage, I mean, just put them on our Twitter account, the Twitter X account of HCSA, whatever you want to call it at the moment. Just put them on there underneath this podcast, any immediate questions that come up, and I will make sure that they are addressed as well and collated so that we have that for that future Q&A session that we'll be doing. Fiona and Lois, again, thank you for joining me. Usually with people that are on the podcast for the first time, we have the Desert Island Supplies thing that we go through. And I've been on and on about whether to or whether to keep it separate, bearing in mind this is a particular series. Did either of you want to offer what your favourite film or musician is before we go? Just so that you don't feel left out.
I would probably say something about some political inappropriate things, so I probably will keep it all quiet from a film. I would probably my children would laugh at me about what Dunkirk or something, you know, right along those lines. What about you, Lois?
Yeah, no, it's that Fiona just very handily volunteered you to add your bit. I like that. What about you, Lois?
Film wise, oh, I don't know, but music, our favorite musician at the moment's got to be Sam Fender. So if anyone hasn't heard of him, check him out. He's a North Shields, Newcastle musician who's really good. So, yeah.
I can see Fiona nodding her head along with that. So it looks like there's consensus.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much Jackie would, because I think she's a bit of a Meatloaf fan as opposed to a
Definitely a Meatloaf. I remember when the first time we had Jackie on and we did the... I seem to remember her album was Bat Out of Hell, pretty certain, by Meatloaf. Pretty certain that it was.
That's good character building stuff, isn't it?
Exactly. I think, it, you know, almost the theme song there for the
commercial procurement.
Franchise commercial. Thank you very much for that.
No, thanks for having us on, Bruce.
We will continue with this series of podcasts, as we've said, and interaction is the name of the game that we like on the podcast, but also collaboration is most certainly the name of the game for the strategic framework for NHS commercial. So please get any questions that you have, get them over to us, whether you want to do that through our social platforms or you can email HCSA directly on that at admin@nhsprocurement.org.uk. Until next time, bye.